This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Sometimes I look like a genius, but when I was saying all offseason that the Broncos' biggest priorities were running back and tight end, now they sign Mercedes Lewis, 41-year-old tight end. I mean, come on. Now, Lucas Kroll's hurt. Adkins hurt. Adkins probably going to go on the IR next. How do we feel about this? He's a big dude. He's 6'6", 267. They need a guy to block and such. The depth chart at the tight end position is pretty thin at this stage. I mean, you've got Evan Engram, who I really want to keep seeing more from him. That's something. I mean, I kind of saw that open up against the Giants in that fourth quarter. Even when it was looking like the percentage chance of them winning was still pretty low. I was like, well, at least they're finding something with Engram. I don't know how much of that is just a defense playing in the prevent situation, but they're going to go with Mercedes Lewis, one of the oldest veterans in the NFL. 41 years old, is officially signing with the Denver Broncos practice squad. Everything I was reading this morning, though, is like they'd get him on the practice squad, and then that's just more of a formality. Will he play this weekend against the Texans? He last played in 2024 with the Chicago Bears, appearing in all 17 games, and he started four of those. So, I mean, he can still kind of do it. I mean, his numbers wouldn't, you know, you don't get a guy like that for numbers. He had one reception in 2024. He was targeted once, and he had 2 yards last year. The year before that, 4 receptions for 5 yards, 29 yards. Now, he was a productive tight end with the Jacksonville Jaguars back in the day. Mike, do you know when he was drafted? Do you know? Do you know the year he was drafted? Nice.
No.
Nice drop in. 2006.
2006.
2006 he was drafted. I was a sophomore in college at that point.
I was working here.
You were working here already. Wow, I hadn't met you yet. Those were simpler times. Different times. Maybe glorious times.
You were less well off.
This was the launch of the social media platform Twitter in 2006. When
YouTube.
Mercedes Lewis was a rookie. The reclassification of Pluto as a dwarf planet was announced. And the release of the popular Nintendo Wii console. Politically, Saddam Hussein was executed. And the Democrats gained control of both houses of the U.S. Congress in the midterm elections. In technology, Google acquired YouTube. And the Human Genome Project published its final chromosome sequence. A lot of things happened in 2006. That was a lifetime ago, Michael. And we're getting a tight end that played in those times. What else? What were you guys doing in 2006 when Mercedes Lewis was a rookie tight end? I'm not like bashing it. You had to get somebody, and I don't know if the Broncos should be in a crazy, hey, we're trying to get, because I'm seeing Rashid Shaheed, the wide receiver for Chicago, is a big name that people are talking about, or excuse me, New Orleans. Of course, New Orleans. Why wouldn't it be New Orleans? He has 39 catches for 431 yards and 2 touchdowns. I know the trade deadline's coming up. We're what is it, November 4th, Mike? Are we ready to give up on any of these young assets right now? to try to go get some more depth at the wide receiver position or the tight end position. So if you can get a free agent signing, I don't mind that. I don't know that I'm yelling and screaming that the Broncos need to make big-time trades here, because I want to see more out of these guys. Who do they have that's actually like trade fodder at this point that would get you anybody that would make sense? And do you want to upset the apple cart here? I mean, Rashid Shaheed's good receiver, but you're starting to see maybe the emergence of some of these other guys. Troy Franklin, Pat Bryant caught a touchdown. Will we see more of that? And then again, like we said with Evan Engram, Marvin Mims Jr. didn't have a catch last week, but I feel like we think he's going to emerge as a top target for Denver. So I'm okay with this. You had to get a body, and was Lucas Kroll or Nate Adkins doing it for you, even if they were healthy? No. But should the Broncos have been a little more aggressive in trying to surround Bo Nix with weapons in the offseason? I mean, we're starting to see a little more of R.J. Harvey, and I think that R.J. Harvey fits the bill of that joker position that Sean Payton was talking about, probably more so than Evan Engram, although I'm not saying Evan Engram can't be that guy. He moves still pretty well. Your thoughts on it? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. It's kind of the big news for the Broncos with the trade deadline. I mean, there were other tight ends out there, and Adam Schefter reported last night, said, I'm still counting and waiting on deals for wide receivers. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Buffalo Bills, the Denver Broncos, other teams that have made calls about wide receivers. We've got the New Orleans Saints sitting on a collection of wide receivers, in which I think at least one will be dealt. And if I had to bet, I'd say Rashid Shaheed is the guy that interests most teams for his speed and his talent. And the guy whose contract is up after this year, who the Saints, I think, would be most willing to part with if the compensation were fair and right. I just don't know. I want to be critical here and logical here. The Broncos are 6-2. They are feeling like they're very much in kind of a window here. So
if you want that wide receiver position, if you want to do it this year, if you think we have the talent this year and yeah, the one piece that we are missing is that speedy wide receiver, yeah, go ahead and do it.
But isn't that
true? What do you trade? Do you trade a first-round draft pick? I don't want to do that.
No, you don't trade a first-round pick, but do we want to get back in that world of trading away picks again when we just finally started to get healthy there? And isn't Troy Franklin supposed to be that guy, that speedster guy, and you started to see him maybe get some confidence against the Cowboys?
Starting to see him. Like, I would have liked to have seen this happen earlier.
Yeah,
I think some of this is Bo Nix's fault.
Yes. How much do you want to really, upset the apple cart here? How much do you want to go do that when maybe, and again, I know, Brady, it's the Dallas Cowboys, worst defense. Of course they were throwing the ball over the place. Yeah, but 44 points, I mean, that's still a lot. So is Shaheed a better option than what you have right now? The yards would maybe tell you that you have other guys, because Sutton's obviously been the consistent dude with 536 yards. Troy Franklin's now at 358. Marvin Mims is at 234. So Shaheed's numbers are better than those. He has 431 yards. So he would be, those numbers would be good for second on the depth chart for the Broncos. It's kind of like I said last year, though. I didn't want to see Denver necessarily go after a wide receiver in the draft or a big free agent, because I want to see Franklin, Marvin Mims, and I want to see Pat Bryant. I thought Pat Bryant would be utilized a lot more, even as a rookie, than he's being right now. But the fact that we're here at 6-2 at the trade deadline talking about what moves can you make, because this is a team that's trying to make moves for a potential deep playoff run. So I'm not going to fault Denver for searching and looking at that. It's fun to be in that conversation. But I don't know that I would get too aggressive. I'm fine with Mercedes Lewis. I don't think he's going to do much. He's going to be a big body out there that they're going to use in those big packages, in those run packages, and try to just put big dudes up at front and get your running back behind him and go. And that's certainly one of those tight ends that can do that. To all accounts, everything that I'm reading, he's still in really good shape. He still has the ability to block. And that's what the Broncos are after at this stage. So, okay. All right. So it's official. He's going to be on the practice squad. How will that look as soon as this weekend? You're going up against a pretty good Texans team. Now, this is where defensively, Michael, games and stats, you got to be careful here because Houston, if you just look at the rankings, they are number one in points allowed per game at 14.7. They are number five against the run. They are fourth against the pass. They are number one in yards allowed. But sometimes one or two games can dictate your stats, right? That's why you got to do the eyeball test. They shut out the Titans 26-0. That's going to help that average out. They caught a bad Ravens team without Lamar Jackson, and they won 44-10. That's also going to help that average out. So Houston's they're a good team. Those first three losses, Rams, Buccaneers, Jags, not bad. But you do have to be careful here with those stats. I'm not saying Houston's not a good team. They're fully capable of beating the Broncos this weekend, 100%. No, don't know where I'm going yet on that. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. This is a team that overhauled their offensive line. And so far, Stroud's playing much better than he did in his sophomore year when he was in the sophomore slump. It feels like they're kind of turning it on a little bit, especially after beating the 49ers 26-15 last time around. But Denver's in that market where they're trying to see, hey, what can we do here to help our push to try to make a deep run in the playoffs? And based on what we saw in the fourth quarter of the Giants game and the entirety of that Dallas Cowboys game, it does kind of have me thinking maybe this team is a contender. Maybe. And we'll see. I think this is a pretty significant test for Denver, even though Houston's 3-4, but they've been much better also catching teams in a weird spot. Like I said, Titans are in no man's land. The Ravens are in no man's land without Lamar. Although, does that change tomorrow night against the Miami Dolphins when you're getting Lamar Jackson back into the fold? I'll be curious to see how that game goes. That one is a big one for me. All right, Mike, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good? How about the Colorado Avalanche? Just a domination last night. And they get the big win over the New Jersey Devils. Was it 8-4? 8-4. And Victor Olofsson gets the hat trick, his first one in his career. I think that was the first game he had 5 points, too, because he also had 2 assists. 3 goals and 2 assists for him. Nathan MacKinnon had 2 goals and an assist, and Cale Makar had 4. That was a fun one for the Colorado Avalanche. The bad for me is the fact that things are so thin at the tight end position, you have to go get a 41-year-old tight end. Eastside Chris beat you to it, Mike. Some teams have Cadillacs. We got a Mercedes. You were just chomping at the bit for that. I could see it. I could see it in your eyes back there. But I think that I'm okay with it, whatever, but that also kind of, it just shows you how bad it is at the tight end position for the Denver Broncos. The ugly for me, I don't really have an ugly, ugly story, Mike, from local stuff last night. Dodgers lost. That's not really ugly. What, do you have an ugly from the last couple of days? Something that's been bad in the world of sports in your mind? Somewhat local?
Can't really think of anything from the last few days.
Yeah.
I mean, over the weekend.
Well, yeah. Some bad stuff.
Rams.
Buffs were ugly. Rams were bad yesterday. That's what we put. Well, there you go. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. The ugly is time's changing, I guess. The time change is coming up this weekend. You ready for that? Isn't that this weekend?
I don't want that.
You know, with a child, I love time change, but with a child that changes, because now it's like, by the time I get home, it's going to be dark. And so we're not, and it's going to be colder. So we don't get to do as many fun stuff, you know, for the final 3 or 4 hours before it's time to clean up, bath time, all that stuff. So I guess that would be the ugly. I'm not in on the time change anymore, mainly because I like playing with my kid.
I've never been on the time change. It's just weird. At least this is the good time change.
Yeah.
You get to sleep in. It gets darker outside.
Because it'll be like, it goes back, right? Is that how it does? Is that what it does?
Yeah.
You always remind us of this every year.
Yeah, you spring forward, fall back. So
fall
you,
back.
You set the clocks back so you can sleep in an extra hour and then watch football.
So 11:21 would be 10. This would be 10:21.
Yeah.
Right?
And, you know, if you forget, like, your phone's going to remind you.
Well, your phone will just set the, it'll just, you don't have to set your clocks because you got your phone.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, spring is worse. Spring's way worse.
Because you lose the hour.
Because you lose that hour.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you get more sun.
Yeah, that's not good.
And that's just horrible.
Yeah. I used to love it when it got dark earlier. But like I said, man, things change. First event is text line is 888-530-0043. Had a fun podcast this morning with Ed Lamb. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Just feels like the Bears are close. It's just one or two or three or four things in a game maybe that kind of decide it. In this case, it was they had some offensive pass interference, and that was rough for the Bears twice. It was called twice. You don't see that called a lot, but unfortunately it hurt the Bears on one of their drives. And that might have mentally kind of set this team back. I did get this from Football 52. All I know is Peter Castelli is practicing. He's been at practice. The I guess, former starting quarterback? I mean, what do you do if Castelli's healthy? Because Gibson Jr. has been good. Keep going with the hot? Now, I don't think Castelli's going this weekend either way. I don't know for sure. But from what I've been told is that he's at least practicing. But I think it was a very like, he's practicing. But we could be surprised on the weekend. I don't know.
I think he's Montana State, his starting job.
What?
Montana State's going to lose.
Okay.
So he's lost.
You're still on that? The Bears are like 20-point dogs or something like that. You still feel good about that?
No. I told you, Brady. Beginning of the season.
I told Ed this morning that
Montana State's going to lose. UNC's going to upset him.
I told Ed this morning. I said, our weird little producer, he picked you guys to win like 8 months ago. He picked you to beat Montana State.
Yep. It's going to happen.
He said he would give you a high five if this is right.
I'm looking forward to that high five. It's going to have to be a low five for him. He is significantly taller than
you know, I sit down with him a lot. I don't stand next to him, and I forget how tall he is.
Yeah.
What is he? What do you think he is? 6'4"?
Whatever he is, he's almost as tall as me sitting down as I am standing up.
Yeah, he's a tall dude. Definitely. But fun podcast. It's going to be tough. Tough game against Montana State. For the Avs, that was kind of cool. Their power play situation has not been good. But last night, that changed. They kind of, the power play, the Avalanche power play kind of woke up. And that's exciting to see. Before that game, Michael, they were 4-39 through the first 10 games. It's a scoring rate of 10.3% that ranked third worst in the league. So for the Avs to get rolling and take control and a much needed kind of win over New Jersey, snapped a 4-game losing streak. They needed that one. You don't want to see the thing spiral because they've had such a good start to the season compared to last year. You don't want to lose that progress you made to start the season. 24 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break here. When we come back, let's talk about the UNC Bears. And why is Montana State, why is that name also coming up when we're discussing another local football team? Let's get to that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man gang. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show. The UNC Bears are going up against Montana State this weekend. They are fourth now in the FCS, in the rankings, top four team. And that doesn't deter your pick.
Told you.
Well, you haven't told me anything
yet. They were like five at the beginning of the season.
Well, they're good. I mean, they have great facilities, have a pretty darn good coach. Brent Vegan is his name. And Brent Vegan, his name's coming up because that's a name I've seen thrown around in the CSU corners as far as a guy they should talk to.
I really would like them to hire him.
Why? Just to get him away from Montana State?
No. Oh. No, I love that last name.
You love the name Vegan?
I just...
Are you a vegan?
The puns.
No. If that happens, you're not allowed. Like, don't do it. Don't be who you are. Don't
do it. I'm sorry. I can't not be who I am.
Well, you're going to have to be. So he was... He played tight end for North Dakota State, and then he coached as a tight ends coach, quarterback coach, running back coach, pretty much did everything at North Dakota State. Then he went to Wyoming as the offensive coordinator and the QB coach, 2014-2016, in 2017-2020, he was listed as the associate head coach, offensive coordinator, and QB's coach. And then he took the job at Montana State in 2021. And in that time, all he kind of does is win. 12-3 his first year. 12-2, 8-4, 15-1, and now 6-2. Now, keep in mind, this is not a coach that's taking over a job that's just constantly bad. It's a bad job. In the Big Sky, they have the resources. Montana and Montana State, every year, you know, we talk with conference realignment and stuff, we always bring up Montana or Montana State, whether or not they have the chops to go to the FBS. And maybe that will happen someday. Not sure. But still, he's done a good job. You know, he's definitely one I would consider. And he replaced, at Montana State, he replaced Jeff Choate, who took the job at Nevada. It's also an interesting crossover because we were talking about Ed Lamb on the Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. And if he were to do the unthinkable and beat some of these ranked teams, would Ed Lamb's name start popping up around a bunch of circles? And Nevada was one I kind of mentioned because Nevada's bad. Would they go that route again, though? Would they go a Big Sky route again? Because how Ed Lamb's doing things is different than I think what a lot of athletic directors are looking at in their coaches.
Those athletic directors, they need to win now.
They need to win now. They need to raise money. So if, let's just play the hypothetical. Ed wins out. CSU interviews him. They're blown away. Is that, and I love Ed Lamb, is that going to attract more or new donors? More money? for Ed Lamb?
Initially.
It would?
I think initially there's going to be that quick, like, oh, we like this guy. But I don't like the slow build that he does. It's going to get rid of a lot of – it's going to turn people off because they want to turn on a dime nowadays.
They want to compete next year. They should. I mean, CSU is trying to change their mindset of, oh, the boot and beating Air Force, being somewhat competitive in the conference. He wants to – John Weber, I feel – is actually trying to change the expectations. And I don't think he was the one who said it, but there was just a lot of talk of 8 wins should be the floor for us. You have to speak that into existence. You have to do it. That's part of it. So when you just walk around, you're like, hey, we want to be competitive. You know, we want to beat our rivals. We want to make sure we're a consistent bowl team. That should be a given for what CSU has. That you shouldn't even have to say that.
That's a nice generic answer.
But you shouldn't even have to say it, you know? Like the Nuggets, the Avalanche. Do you think that at the beginning of every season they're going, you know, we want to be in the playoffs? Do you think they're saying we want to be in the playoffs? With the way they're set up right now, it is a foregone conclusion that they will be in the playoffs. They want to win it all. That's why you make the moves you're making. Michael Malone won a championship in 2023. It's been 2 years. And Denver, obviously there are other things that were happening, but this is a team that believes with the roster they have, with the stars they have, or the main star they have, that they should be easily a playoff team every year. That is a given, but you are making a deep run and getting into your conference championship at the very least.
Yeah, the Broncos had a head coach who was taking the team deep into the playoffs, and when he didn't feel like the Super Bowl was good enough, he got his butt fired.
Which one? Mike Shanahan?
No, not Mike Shanahan. I'm blanking on his name. Right before Kubiak.
Oh, John Fox.
Yeah, John Fox. He was fired because he wasn't upset enough that he lost.
He wasn't kicking and screaming. As John always said, if we're going to lose, we're going to go out kicking and screaming because they lost to the Colts, right? And then it was just a bad game, bad performance, and that was it for John Fox. And at that time, that was, hey, we got Peyton Manning. We shouldn't just be in the playoffs. Sure, we lost to Baltimore in that weird way, but we should not lose like this to Indianapolis. So we're changing. We got rid of John Fox, who was always deep in the playoffs, but we think we're much better than that. And they got Gary Kubiak, they got a Super Bowl, and then obviously the expectations went away. But that was right. That was the mindset at that time. And so that's why I say, like, even if Ed Lamb goes on and does the unthinkable, I just don't know if that's a name. I think Ed would get calls from a lot of different schools. I don't know that it makes sense at CSU. Nevada, different story. They don't have the resources. They have to have a guy that's willing to do things a little differently than the rest.
They can afford the slow build, yeah. Not CSU.
No, because when you spend $220 million on a new stadium and you're firing coaches a lot, you know, fired a lot of football coaches before their time was up, and so they had to do those buyouts, you are screaming that we are better than this. I mean, Mike Bobo was probably slightly under a 500 type coach in his 4 years. 5 years with CSU. And then Addazio is just too many off the field things to even try to give that a shot. They won 8 games last year. Good on John Weber and the Rams saying that's not good enough. We can't just have a one good season and then all the bottom falls out the very next year. You can't do it.
Injuries can only get you so far,
yeah,
with an excuse.
Unless you have a built-up resume. If Jay Norvell would have been his first year, I think they won, 4 or 5, 3 maybe? It wasn't good. His first year was kind of rough. Yeah, they won 3 games with CSU his first year, and then he won 5 games and he won 8. If you're talking, he won 6 games in 2022. He also won 6 games the next year, so they're going bowling all the time. Maybe you throw in a rival win. Then you're talking, okay, you've at least proved that you can be a pretty good coach. You can win half of your games. And then you had an 8-win season. We'll give you this bat. Like, Coach Prime, if he weren't Coach Prime, he's just a regular coach, this year would still be considered a bonus year. Because we hired you, we were terrible. You got us from 2 wins to 4 wins, or whatever it was. 1 win to 4 wins. And then your next year, boom, 9. Oh, you're losing your Heisman winner. You're losing your quarterback. You're losing a ton of other great receivers. You have health concerns. This is a bonus year. No matter what you do, you're going to be fine. If that were a regular coach, for Prime, it's like he's got plenty of time to try to fix this.
Especially with all the money that's coming in.
That's why you asked me yesterday, what's the most important thing for a head coach? And I had Smitty text in and say, it's recruiting. It's like, yeah, but doesn't recruiting now tie into money? Can you raise money? And I don't know that Ed Lamb's that guy. I don't know let's say they win out. They got 4 games left. They win all 4 of them, including a top 4 team and a top 20 team. That wouldn't happen, but he's still going to get calls. If you hired him, a guy like that, I don't think that that's a move that says, yeah, donate money. And that's not a knock on Ed Lamb. This is a guy that doesn't really scream from the top of the roof right now. I ask him, like, how can people donate money? He's like, I don't really want to do that. I've asked him on the podcast, how can potential donors get in touch with UNC football? He's kind of like, yeah, I don't really want to just go out and do a full-on ask like that. We want to build a relationship with people. And if they like what we're doing and they want to help support this program and they know where and how we're using the funds, then yeah, we want to partner with those people. That's cool. That's respectful. Admirable. But that's just not the way a lot of these programs are operating now. 11:41 the time. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Shut!
There we go. Great version of that. Lemons Heating and Cooling. You should shout it out loud that Lemons Heating and Cooling will fix up your heater situation. If last year you were struggling and it wasn't putting out great heat, it's got a weird smell, and it's not just the first time you turned it on, you got to talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. They have free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. They fixed my heater. They fixed my air conditioner. They'll service a lot of areas throughout northern Colorado. And there's a reason you're seeing their vehicles all over the place. That's because other people are getting the hint that Lemons Heating and Cooling, they are the HVAC contractor to call. 970-567-0798. What? What, Mike?
I was going to say, if your heater cooling system's putting a sour taste in your mouth, go to Lemons Heating and Cooling.
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What is in a good coach? You know, I heard Miles Blumhardt was on with Tanner Schwint yesterday on Good Morning NoCo filling in. And they were talking a lot about, and I know Miles brought this up in the past, like, what are we missing when CSU goes to hire a head coach? The answer, Mike, there is no obvious answer, but I've been thinking about that a lot. Make sure when you hire a coach, you believe what they're preaching, they're selling. And I'm not saying Jay Norvell went against what he was selling, but weren't we promised when Jay got here, air raid? Wasn't that the big thing? Fort air raid? We're going to air it out. We're going to be going.
Bring back wide receiver U.
Bring back wide receiver U. Although at the time
it kind of
felt like that because Torrey Horton was pretty damn good. Is pretty damn good. My thought, and again, coaches can say one thing, and then you kind of have to build your roster according to what you get. But for an air raid team, why hasn't Jay Norvell, why didn't they produce any other really good receivers? I mean, why? It was Torrey Horton and nobody else, really. I mean, they had Dallin Hulker for 1 year. So I guess I look at those things and I say, okay, what was the interview process like for Ed Lamb? And he admits, or he doesn't admit, he says a lot of his interview process was a lot like his opening press conference. We're going to build through Colorado kids. We're going to do the right things. We're not going to be going out. We're going to take care of our bodies. And I mean, that's a serious thing. Like, we are going to push you guys to pass on parties, drinking. Let's just be clear. That's what he was talking about. That's what I'm bringing. That's how we change the culture here, because that's what you guys need. You need a culture change. You need a facelift. He didn't go back on that. Even his transfer portal rule. Hey, if you enter the portal, you're not coming back. Well, Carver Cheeks didn't come back in the same capacity. He was told, you have to come in as a walk-on. You're bottom of the barrel. You're not on the team. You have to show up every day of practice, and you have to move up, and you'll earn a scholarship if you do that. If not, then bye-bye. So I guess I just think, like, I don't want gimmicks. I liked it. Trust me. I liked the air raid thing. It was fun. It was exciting. I was like, oh, this is so freaking cool because Adazio was boring. I don't want gimmicks. Don't fall for gimmicks. You know, Adazio stood up there at his first press conference. He's like, here, this is the Ram, and this is the Ram, and my hand is fist, and your hand's a fist, and when your hands close, it forms a Ram, and we're going to bam, bam, bam. I don't want that. What's the plan, Phil? What's the real plans for Modern Family? What's the plan? And if you come in and say in the interview process, because they have to ask, right? What's your X's and O's? What else are you bringing? Well, we're going to air it out. You guys were running that ball like crazy and hoping to play good defense, even though they weren't great defense. We are coming here and we are going to put up points. We are going to light it up through quarterback development and great receiver recruiting. Great offensive linemen. They became a run team, which wasn't bad. I applauded him for changing his approach because they had to. But why, as an air raid guy, was it so easy to get pretty darn good running backs over the years, but you couldn't seem to land a lot of those stud wide receivers? So that's always a red flag. And it should have been a more red of a flag than it turned out to be. Obviously, it turned out to be. Air raid, pumping our chest. We're going to throw it, air it out, do all this crazy stuff. And then you turned out to be a run-first team. And not to say you can't run in the air raid. You do run, but you expect a lot of big-time numbers. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. Wrap up hour number one. I got Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, joining me. The Cowboys whooped up on the Rams, 28-0. They got the boot. What's next for them? More on the Denver Broncos. We got Sean Keeler coming up from the Denver Post. He wrote a great piece on Riley Moss earlier, and we're going to get into that. Don't you dare go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the High School Football Game of the Week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
That's what I'm talking about. You just heard the rejoin there. It's Warren Jackson. There was a time under Mike Bobo, where it was like Rashard Higgins, Warren Jackson, and Michael Gallup. Like, we were getting receivers left and right coming to CSU, and I thought we were going to get that 2.0 with Jay Norvell. But
Gallup is a great name for running back.
Great. Well, he was a wide receiver, so I get where you're going with that. But wide receivers run, so you can still use that. Faith liked your lemons thing. Don't encourage him, folks. 11:57, top stories of the day. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.